God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Let me see. Hold them up and shake them around. Lord, we thank you for the solid foundation that we stand on. In you, and your Son, and your Word, through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we lift you up today. We thank you that you're the Lord that fills our hearts with your love, your presence, your confidence. So today, speak to us. Draw us near. Draw us near to you, to one another. I pray today your word would go just deep in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, transform our lives. Be glorified in this place. Amen. Today on this Mother's Day, I want to talk to you about the love of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. Yeah, great picture. Wonder what that baby's thinking about. It's thinking about something good, isn't it? First John 4:16 said, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love." Say it with me. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. You know, knowing, receiving, and extending the love of God is the very essence of our Christian faith. It's the bottom line. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is what? Love. What's the greatest? Love. Nothing greater. It's the whole foundation of all that we do. You know, the love of God is the big picture that really puts everything else in the right perspective. So much so, you know, that Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the great commandment. Without it, we don't have anything. When the love of God is present, you know, it all begins to take place. Everything comes in perspective. Loving the Lord, loving our neighbors. Saints, I really want to tell you, that's why we build. When the love of God touches our heart, and it takes on a whole different perspective, and the love that he has for others as well. You know, while all other religions of the world, and that's including churchianity, a lot of us were involved in that. I'm talking about Christianity. I'm talking about churchianity. Empty tradition that doesn't even talk about a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. But all the religions of the world present, you know, strict, complicated teachings or devise complex systems and philosophies. True Christianity shouts out love. It shouts out the love of God. You know, today is Mother's Day, and I just can't think of a better topic than God's love that embodies the whole essence of motherhood. So it's true that, you know, you fathers are designed to be the head of the house. But all of us agree that the heart of a home is the mother. And that there are just so many qualities of loving mothers that we can compare to God's love. I mean, you know, it's true, except for God's love. You know, there's really nothing like a mother's love. And I've said before, you know, on TV, so, you know, Dad, don't feel bad, but, you know, all the sports guys, they always say, "Hi, Mom." You know, they don't say, "Hi, Dad." You know, they say, "Hi, Mom." And they're just that endearing love of a mother. You know, mother is used in Scripture 245 times. And it might surprise you to know that God has a maternal side or a feminine side. And remember that both man and woman came forth from the Lord. So it really shouldn't surprise us that God has that maternal side. It's who He is. And that He brings that balance in man and woman of who God is. One of the terms used for the Lord in the Scripture in the Old Testament is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai speaks about the fullness of God Almighty, but literally it means multi-breasted one. It means that he's there to meet every need, whatever it might be, that He is the fullness of all things. The multi-breasted one, equipped to meet every need that we have, El Shaddai. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. And there's some other places in Scripture. Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." It's that feminine side to gather, to draw them close to Himself. As a mother gathers her children, as the hen gathers her chicks in. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, comparing Himself to God, comparing God to a mother, He says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted." I want to share some of the qualities, you know, what love is, and I mean, it's impossible to do it, you know, in just a short time and just a few words. So first of all, the love of God it's incomprehensible. We're never going to fully understand the love of God or His infinite love for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we're familiar with this verse when it says, as Paul's praying, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding. What he's saying is, I pray that you can begin to comprehend what is incomprehensible. There's no end to it. It's infinite. There's no boundaries. And we really have a hard time with that. I want to talk about this incomprehensible love for a moment. If we can just get just the smallest picture of it and open our heart, just embrace just the smallest bit, it'll change everything in our life. Everything in our life. You know, when we look into eternity past, we see the spectacular love relationship that took place between God the Father and God the Son. And we see the perfect eternal love of the Father that lavishly was poured out on the Son. And we see in return, you know, with that same love that the Son loves the Father joyously, unceasingly, eternally. And at the baptism of Jesus with John the Baptist, and there was a voice that suddenly came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In John chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does." So the gospel, every biblical principle, Every word that has been written or spoken by God is bathed with unfathomable and infinite love. Everything about God. I mean, it's the answer, and it's amazing to know or to try to comprehend that, listen, that the exact love that eternally exists between the Father and the Son can be experienced by you and me. Just get hold of that for a minute. The same love that eternally has existed and will exist between the Father and the Son is the love that we can experience. I'm talking about the very same love in the same way, no difference. Somebody, oh, the way he loves me isn't the way he loves Jesus. It is exactly the same way he loves you. It says in John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. In John 17:26, he says, I have declared to them your name, talking about the Father. And I will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. And that I am in them. Man, it's just, it's hard for us to grasp, you know? Just, whew. You just have to believe it in faith, even though it's hard for our mind to comprehend how much God loves you. I don't care how many sermons we hear about it. It seems like we have a hard time grasping it. And then we go back to that thing again, feeling God's mad at me and he's upset and he doesn't love me and I don't please God. And, you know, all this stuff that we go through. But Jesus came that you might know and experience the Father and his awesome love. The love relationship that he's always had with the Father is what God has given to us. The same identical love. There is no difference. God wants us to comprehend what is incomprehensible love. To trust him in it. Man, I mean, talk about falling in. Wow. This unfathomable sea of love with no beginning, no end. You're never going to hit a bank anywhere in the sea of love. Ever. So if we can just begin to digest today just a little bit of it. I know when I had my first experience in the hospital with the Lord. Most of you are aware, I was 24 and I was raised in church, but I had churchianity without Christ. Went my own way trying to find out, you know, how I could find fulfillment in life. In all the wrong ways. All the stuff. And back in the hippie days, man, you know, we were everywhere. We were talking about love, but man, it wasn't God's love. And when the Lord broke through with his presence in my life in that hospital, I was blown away. I knew that God loved me. I knew that God had spared my life when I should have died. I should have died. And I brought it on myself through abuse, through drugs. And I tried to take my life on a drug trip. I was trying to get to God. Man, I was messed up. God in his grace spared my life. I'm telling you. If he wouldn't have, I'd be in hell today. It's like I was pushing on the door. Complete ignorance, not even knowing it. God in his grace, his mercy and love spared my life. May he, I don't understand it. I know what I deserve. I don't understand it. I don't know if he saw something, you know, or had that plan, but whatever happened, he sure saw something I didn't see. But I was so overwhelmed by his love for me. I haven't got over it to this day. All of a sudden, it wasn't about me now. It was about him. I was filled with inferiority. I just lived in that place, always inferior and feeling like I was not worthy and, I didn't have any confidence. And then you do those outward things to kind of make up for it, But after the Lord came in my life, I wouldn't even speak in public or say anything. I played in rock bands back then, man, but I never could really take the lead in anything. Didn't have confidence. I've shared before, and then I went into the folk thing, and gave up rock and roll and started playing folk songs, It's hard for you to picture that, I know, but... And I remember I tried out for a folk festival they were doing at college. Took my guitar and my harmonica rack, did my Bob Dylan imitation, and man, I was petrified. They're all smiling, looking at me, I was petrified. I've shared this before in the church. In the middle of it, I used finger picks, and my thumb or finger got stuck, and the finger pick went boing, and I watched it go, I swear, 30 yards. I mean, it's just like, I was fractured. Yeah. They said, "Oh, come back. That was awesome. That was great. You got to try out again." And I say, "No way. I'm never going to go through that again. That was so humiliating." Had no confidence until Jesus came in my life. That's about him. It's not about me. So I don't like you. I don't really care. It's about him. Well, I don't like what you're saying. I don't really care. This is about God's word. It's about God's truth. He's the one that gives you confidence and fills you and gives you purpose and leads and guides and directs us. So God wants us to begin to comprehend this incomprehensible love. Second thing, that the love of God, it's unfailing. Here's a Hebrew word, chesed. It's translated in the scripture, loving kindness. Steadfast love, unfailing love, unfailing love. David said, "For the king trusts in the Lord through the said, through the unfailing love of the Most High, he shall not be moved." I'm the king, and I trust in him, and God's love is unfailing, and I shall not be moved because God's love for me is unfailing. We even sing the song, sometimes. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. It's unfailing. It's always new. Steadfast. And we're aware of Ted Bundy, who was one of the worst sexual criminals, mass murderers in U.S. history. When his mother was interviewed, she said, "Ted's a good boy." That's a mother's unfailing, steadfast love. Sees her children as no one else. I say, man, how could she say that? Well, I want you to know, God loves Ted Bundy more than his mother. God died for Ted Bundy's sins. Paid the price on the cross for the horrific things he did. Unfailing love. And Dr. Dobson, through spending time with Ted Bundy through periods of time, shared the salvation plan and Ted Bundy experience. I mean, a true, true born-again experience with Jesus Christ. He wasn't trying to get out of jail. He was sentenced to death. So that's not possible. If that's not possible, then we can just throw our Bibles away and leave and just forget the whole thing. So I could never love Ted Bundy. He got what is deserved, you know, maybe in the natural, but I want you to know the chesed love of God. It's steadfast, unfailing. His loving kindness never ceases. He died for Ted Bundy. He paid the price. Remember, Apostle Paul killed Christians. Not just persecuted them, he turned them over to death. And I believe with all my heart, to hear the testimony, it was a brokenness, a humility. I believe we're going to see Ted Bundy in heaven one of these days. It wasn't because of his good works here. It was because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross to demonstrate his love, to pay for those sins in full. That he died for the whole world, for the sins of the world. Every sin, he took every sin upon himself. So this loving kindness never ceases. It declares you that God's love simply cannot fail. Isaiah, describing the coming Messiah's ministry, wrote, this is awesome, listen to this carefully. Isaiah 42, verses 2 and 3, speaking of the Messiah's ministry, said, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street, talking about his meekness, his humility. A bruised reed he will not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. A bruised reed he won't break. A reed that's bent over, he said, I won't break it off. He's talking about a smoking wick. If it's just a little glow, he says, I won't put it out. Talking about our lives. And that 800 years later, that Matthew quoted this verse describing Jesus as the one who healed broken bodies and broken hearts and relieved tormented minds and lifted guilt and condemnation, and that he was the one that brought people to a new level of life as his power and his love broke through darkness and despair and the bondages. Weak people just holding on. A bruised reed I will not break. A smoldering wick he will not quench. You ever been there? Just felt like you just hanging on, just, you know, whatever took place, you know, in your life. God won't pinch it out. He won't pinch out that glow. He'll fan it back to life, and flame, that flame would come forth again, that we'd know his love and know his purpose. That's what he came to do. And when we're broken and when it looks like we're down, he doesn't see it like that. I got news for you today. See, my behavior, my indifference, my lack of performance, even rebellion, never diminishes the unfailing, unchanging love of God for me or for you. I don't know, this is for someone here or several here today. The Lord wants you to know, he wants you to take heart in your weakest moment. In your weakest moment, God's there to sustain you and to lift you up. He didn't come to break us. He came to heal us and lift us up. He didn't come to squish us out. He came to give us life and lift us up. In spite of our failures and all that we've done. But that's why Christ came and died on the cross. That we could know the same love the Father had for the Son and the Son had the Father. That we can experience the exact same kind of love. The third thing that we need to know is that God's love is unconditional. You know, you look at some of the heroes of faith in the scripture, and it's amazing. It'll encourage us that God's love is unconditional. You look at Moses. And man, all the mighty things and the power and the things he experienced and saw. But I want to remind you, for 40 years he was in Egypt, and he killed an Egyptian. That's why he had to leave Egypt. It wasn't God's will. I mean, he murdered him, buried him in the sand. Found out, man, he had to get out of there. And then 40 years he was in the wilderness. Midian, God called him. That time he was broken. He was meek. He says, I can't even speak. I can't do anything. You know, I'm not the guy. God says, now you're ready. And then he used him, as we know, to go to Egypt, and all the power that was manifested and the things happened, and we go, wow, man. But I want to remind you that, you know, Moses disobeyed God, and God wouldn't let him in the promised land. Moses failed God. I want to remind you about Peter. He denied the Lord. And it wasn't just that. You know, I mean, Peter had a lot of shortcomings. That's why we can relate to him. He was always messing up. Look at David. David was God's man in the Old Testament. Have a heart after God. Look at the other side of David. David sinned, lusted, committed adultery, and then tried to cover it up and made it worse. Set up her husband, had him killed in the battlefield. That's God's man in the Old Testament. Had all kinds of family problems because of it too. But he had a heart after God, and he repented. We see the love of God more than anywhere else. Look in the scripture, it talks about, you know, David's heart for the Lord and how he had a right heart and true repentance and cried out to God and then received God's favor and God's mercy, unfailing love. And look at Gideon. I mean, Gideon started off slowly, you know, as he cowered in fear and was hiding, you know, the wheat and afraid of the Midianites. But then he got victory. But you read the end of it. It didn't end well for him. He made some bad choices, put a blotch on his life. And Samson. Man, where's the testimony? All kinds of sin in Samson's life. He was messing up all the time. Then in the end, he finished strong, lost his life doing it. But I want to remind you, God loved every one of them. These were the people. These were God's treasures. These are the ones that are in God's hall of fame in the book of Hebrews. Come on, you need to clap. You know, not for them, but for God's mercy, for God's love. You know, that God loved them in spite of their shortcomings because they came to the Lord in repentance and humbleness of heart and received that love and were embraced by God, and God raised them up and used them in great ways. And there's hope for every person in this room. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. I'm telling you, God loves you. And that God's love is unending. It's infinite. That God loved you before time began. And he will always love you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in his love. Before you ever did anything wrong, before you did everything bad, you know, he knew you, he loved you, he's always loved you, he loved you before the foundation of the world. And we see that David understood this in Psalm 139. Man, David! Man, God's man, but what a background. David understood this eternal love, this immeasurable love, without width, depth, length, or height. And it says, "And I will praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Oh, my soul knows so well that my being, it was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book were all my members written when there was none of them." He saw that God loved him and made him before he ever was and knew him. And he goes on to say, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. God, your good thoughts, your love for me, it's more than all the sands of the sea." How can that be? I'll tell you, it's who God is. It's His mercy, it's His love, it's His grace. You know, it's true. It seems like people that are over here with a pendulum and, you know, or have this background or this record like David and Peter and Moses, and that pendulum, when it gets hold of the love of God, will go all the way over here. There's some people that do this, and they have this, but they live in that condemnation. They can never get over it. God couldn't love me. You're not believing in faith and understanding what He did for you on the cross. It's lack of faith. You're trying to do it yourself. You're looking at yourself instead of looking at God and what He did on the cross for you and receiving the love that He so freely gives to you. That's where that inferiority comes from. That, you know, we're feeling this lack of worth, and we're not feeling love. We feel no purpose, and then we try to hide it up. That's what pride is really all about. It's concentration on me, trying to overcompensate for the thing that's really deep down inside, which is a lack of self-acceptance and worth. And so this prideful side comes out, trying to prove ourselves and to do all this stuff and to, you know, perform. Or it goes the other way, where people just give up and say, "Man, I'm worthless, and so what's the use?" But either way, it's pride, because it has to do with ourself. We're looking at ourself instead of looking at God. Do you understand? God wants to free you from that. God wants to lift that condemnation you bring on yourself and listen to the lies of the devil that He's putting in your heart, telling you a nobody. I want you to know the cross says you're a somebody. God wants you, by faith, to receive the love that He says is yours. Not just a little bit. Eternal, infinite, unceasing, unchanging, unfailing. God, you're on God's heart all the time. His thoughts for you, these precious, precious thoughts that God has for you, this is more number than the sands of the sea. You're always giving God a bum rap. "If God loved me, I can't believe He'd let that happen." Oh, man. We do all this stuff and bring all this stuff on ourselves and then blame God for it. Well, God wants you to know today, His love is incomprehensible. You'll never understand it. It's the same love that He has for Jesus. There's no difference He has for you. My life is hid in Christ. He loves me with the same love He loved Jesus. I mean, that is some kind of love. His love is unfailing in your weakest moment. It's unconditional. No matter what you've done or how unloving you've been or how ungrateful you've been, it's unconditional. It's unending, it's eternal, infinite. It can't be measured. That's why it says, you know, that the gift that God gave is unspeakable, it tells us in Corinthians, talking about the cross. Because it can't be measured and never can be comprehended. The love that was demonstrated on the cross, we'll never understand it. And last of all, as I've been saying, it's life-changing. That God's love affects us. It changes us. After I knew the love of God, I was never the same. It doesn't mean I'm not growing in it. You know, when you really come to know His love, there's a desire to please Him, to yield, to surrender. When we see ourselves in the light of sin and our disobedience and self-centeredness and walk into this awesome, marvelous love and light of God. Whew, man. It brings a desire to please Him and to walk in grace and thanksgiving and gratitude. Whatever it is, God, I'll do it. I'll go. Whatever is required, God, I'll do it. Whatever. You know, I knew in high school, I think of one person that, you know, just wanted to so walk straight and narrow. They weren't even a Christian. But it was because of their love for their father. They didn't want to do anything to hurt their father's heart. And because of that love and respect, they just wanted to walk that straight and narrow and not do anything that was going to be, you know, sinful or immoral or compromising. It was love-based. And if that happens with a child, a teenager with their parent who doesn't even know Jesus, then what happens when somebody really meets God and enters into a relationship with God the Father? That's what it's really about. That there's such a love that God has for us. We don't want to compromise it. We don't want to hurt His heart. We want to walk uprightly. It's love that motivates our obedience. You know, you remember that song? You know that old song goes, said, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Sing it with me. "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." Right here. "Because He first loved." Why do I love Him? Because He loved me. Because His love broke through into my life. That's why I love Him. It's all because of His grace. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more encouraging. There's nothing more settling. There's nothing more, you know, steadying and motivating. It's what motivates my faith. Faith works by love. It's by the love of God. There's nothing that brings more confidence or brings more peace or that brings more assurance or brings more courage than the love of God. It gives us a heart to love Him. It gives us a heart to love Him back, to obey Him. We see it. We see it in relationships. We see it in the home. Why do you really think the mother does the things that she does? What do you think it is that motivates her to do laundry? Go through those stinking dirty socks that have been in tennis shoes, sweaty feet. Thinks because she's drawn to the smell of dirty socks and tennis shoes? She has a fetish. You know, what is it that the mother's heart to serve and be faithful to the family and want to sacrifice for the kids and do whatever she can and run them all over town in the van to every kind of activity going? You know, why? What is it about why would a mother, you know, always give up that piece of cake or pie, and, you know, when there's one left, and say, "Well, I'm not really hungry. You go ahead and eat it." What? It's love that motivates that. You understand? It's love that gives us a heart to serve other people And if that's true in the natural, even people do it that don't know the Lord, how much more when we know God? It's the love of God that motivates us to serve Him. Listen, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I thought love was unconditional. It is. God will love you no matter what. But there's consequences to disobedience. And if we really have love in our heart, there's going to be a demonstration of that love. There'll be a demonstration, you know, between parents and their kids. There'll be a demonstration of it to people that are around us that we respect. There's a demonstration of it, you know, wherever it may be. If you love somebody, there's going to be an honoring of that person. Hello? And you, how much more with God? Man, listen to this. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. The same way, same love the Father has. I've loved you with that love. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. What? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments. It's nothing that Jesus doesn't do. The same kind of love that the Father has for Jesus, the same kind of love that Jesus has for the Father, is the love that He has for us. But it's this very same thing, that there was a responsibility. He says, I've kept the commandments of my Father because He loves me, because I love Him. And so you say, oh yeah, man, this is great, unfailing love of God, you know, it's immeasurable, hallelujah, you know, it's unfailing, man, unconditional. This is a great message, Pastor, thanks, I feel better now, see you around, man. You're missing it. Come to an altar and then, you know, come back, you know, every other year, or maybe come at Easter and rededicate yourself. You're missing it. You can't enter into a love relationship and not enter in and have some responsibility, and that there's a two-way thing to this relationship. Love is not independence. What is it? Why do you think motivated those people to volunteer and be out there, you know, helping, coming early in the morning with the Walk for Life? What is it that made them do that? They're gluttons for punishment? Masochists? What do you think it was that had those people go out there and work and set that stuff up, and people all the way down the street that were helping people across the street that have been out there? What made them volunteer to do that? What was it that makes people volunteer in our church and come in and put in the time and the long hours, and the volunteers and staff as well that go overboard to put in time and to do things? What do you think it is that motivates them? What do you think it is? What do you think it is that motivates people to contribute to this building? What do you think is the motivation? And listen, I'm just going to be flat out here. And if you don't have motivation, you better ask yourself what's going on. There's something lacking between your relationship with God. If it's all about you and you don't want to ever do anything that's going to be sacrificial in nature and demonstrate that love to God and to other people around you. Hello? This isn't in my notes. This stuff just free. Oh, God, You're so good. Today, Lord, I pray that Your love would break through into our hearts and lives. Oh, how You love us. God, You know everything about us. You know us more than anyone could ever understand. And You love us more that we can't even comprehend it. Today, Lord, I pray that You'd break through into the hearts of men and women in this room. That they would see, Lord, the love. They just the smallest bit. The love that You've had for them always. Eternity past, before they were ever born, You loved them. You see them differently than they see themselves, Lord. You see the good. You see the potential. You see the plan, the purpose. You love them for who they are, Lord. You always love them. Nothing can separate you from that love. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love is patient. I think this is God's love. But it's the love that He puts in our hearts. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag or boast itself. It's not proud. It's never rude to people. Love is not self-seeking. It's not selfish. It's not easily angered. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. This is God's love to you. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Father, you said that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I pray today, I can't do it. God, I can't make myself comprehend, Lord, your love in a greater way. You're the one that has to give me that enlightenment. You're the one that has to give me that understanding. You're the one, Lord, that has to fill my heart with that faith and understanding. Holy Spirit, you're the one that has to do this work in our hearts. We can even hear it in our minds, but Lord, you said as a man...